And let us commence with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can remember our Lord Jesus Christ thus, for all your love for us, and through him manifested to all of us that we may know the love of God. And this morning, even as we consider the study of the horse as we encounter this year among the Chinese community, we do pray that you will speak to us through thy word. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. This morning, I shall be dealing with the topic, the Chinese New Year of the horse. For those of you who may not know what I'm doing, because you are new here, every Chinese New Year day, I will be speaking on Chinese New Year of that animal. Now, this Chinese New Year of the horse, it will last until 5th of February 2027. So if anybody is born within this period, then you are a horse. Right. Now, this year of the horse is therefore a repeat message that I have been giving since 1900. Then 12 years later, 202, 214, 226 this year, 4 years. In other words, this series of studies that I have made on the every animal in connection with Chinese New Year is already over 40 years old. I have a lot to tell you on this study of the horse in the Bible, so we need to go straight into it. And those of you who are taking down notes, I suggest that you don't, but you can just visit my website. All my notes will be there, my PowerPoint studies will be there, and including what I say will be there. The horse in history. Now, the Mongols were the ones who were using the horse for transport, for their livelihood, even for warfare, so that the Mongols used these horses to attack the neighboring countries around them, and especially China and those neighboring countries which were just at their side. Now, because of that, China built the wall, Great Wall of China. But even then, we find that the Mongols would find weaknesses in those walls and would penetrate into China itself. Now, that was the use, that the important role of the horse to the Mongols. But Alexander the Great was also famous for his use of the horse in warfare. And because of the horse that could travel so far, he managed to travel to extend his empire from Greece right up to India. Now, that was the role of horses in history. But today, we may consider the symbols of the horse. Why do we have this horse, the year of the horse, and the year of rats, and the year of the mouse and the rabbit and so on? Now, that's because in Chinese astrology, they have divided the lunar circuit into 12 sections. And they believe that the stars are in control of all those born at that particular time. And therefore, if somebody is born in the year of the horse, well, he is a horse. Now, that is based on the lunar calendar as given to us by the astrologers and so on. The horse, as you see, is ranked the seventh. First would be the rat, and down there, down a rat, down the bull, and down to the horse, the seventh animal that we have this year. Now, this is associated closely with horoscope, fortune telling. And in my time, the Star newspaper always had the star scope. And people wake up or woke up at that time to read their future, their fortune for that day. Now, Christians, what are we to do? Are we to believe in horoscopes and so on? Well, the fortune of a person is related to animal of that year. For example, with a horse, its intelligence, endurance, speed, and perseverance are associated with a horse. A person born in that year are all these. I'm not sure whether they are or not. What is the difference, therefore, between astrology and horoscope? Astrology is to place that person born in that year, in that particular year, with an animal. And horoscope is the prediction that what that person will be. So we must not be confused between a prediction in the horoscope and that which is a prophecy in the Bible, because they are two different things. And we ask ourselves, what have the scriptures to say about these animals, these horoscopes, looking into the future in conjunction with our birth with the stars concerned? Right. Deuteronomy 18:9-14 has this to say. Spiritism or fortune telling. Some of us don't believe in feng shui. Now, these things are regarded as an abomination unto the Lord. This is what he says. These shall not be found among you. Anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all they do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Christians should never be involved in these things. They are an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 18:9-14. Then we read also in Deuteronomy 18:15-19 that we must not confuse between a prediction of a horoscope and a prophecy in the scriptures. Now, for example, in Deuteronomy 18:15-19, there is a prophecy of a sage, a prophet that is coming. This prophecy is of the Lord Jesus Christ who is coming. Now, this is a prophecy. It is not a prediction associated with soothsaying. So we must know the difference. How do we know the difference? Well, Deuteronomy 18:20-22 says this: the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. So even all these horoscopes predict that some misfortune may fall upon you. Do not be afraid, because you are not to take heed to all these horoscopes. You need to pay heed to what the scripture has to say. And what has the scripture to say? Let's look what the Bible has to say about the horse. For your information, there are hundreds of occurrences of the word horse or horses in the scriptures. That's why I'm hurrying through quite fast this morning, because there are so many cases that we can learn lessons from in the occurrences of the word horse or horses in the scriptures. But we have to select only a few for our study this morning. Right, firstly, be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. The first characteristic that the Bible acknowledges about the horse is that it is speedy. For example, in Psalm 32, verse 9, we read that it is used of a people quick to do their own thing. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. Everyone turneth to his course. as the horse rushes to battle. Just as the horse rushes to battle, if we are horses, if we are like horses, then we will just rush into things without considering God's will, without consulting God. That is a kind of behavior of a horse. That is not the kind of behavior of a Christian. They refuse to obey God's word. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 7, 23, 24, and it has this to say, "But this thing commanded I them, saying," what are the characteristics of those that refuse? They walk not in God's ways. God says, walk, obey my voice, but they walk not in God's ways. 7:23-24. God says, follow him so that they might be well. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. But we read, they hearken not, nor inclined their ear. We read, God says, this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Now, the whole idea of God asking us to obey him, obey his word, is that everything may be well. And what is so important about that well? The word well is a word that we use often, but we use it more for our own profit. Prosper. Happy New Year. Happy and prosperous New Year. And what do we mean when we wish each other happy and prosperous New Year? We are wishing that person good wealth. Great riches be on you. Great wealth be with you. And this is our wish. But is that the right scriptural wish for us, for Christians, that they will be wealthy, that they will be rich? No. Well here has the meaning of happy, successful, right. In this year of the horse, God wants to wish us well so that we may obey him, we may walk in his ways. Happy, successful, right, and happy and prosperous, successful New Year. Not a wealthy New Year. Wealth. Why do we not wish people have wealthy? For the simple reason that we cannot take away wealth with us. When we leave this world, we cannot take wealth. We wish them well. Well, healthy and strong and faithful, ministering unto the Lord's word, ministering unto the Lord's work, serving the Lord's people. This is our wish, that all who enter the new year may be like that for the Lord. Right. It's use of a people not quick to the signs of the times. Jeremiah 8:16. The horses are coming. Now, Lord God warned Israel. Look here. Wake up. Obey my voice. Obey what I'm going to tell you. Because the horses are coming. What horses? God says the horses are very near. Why? They are so near that you can even hear the snorting of the horses. From then, the whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. God is saying, look, the horses are here. They are coming, the Babylonians. God warned Israel, you obey me. If you don't obey me, I'm going to bring the Babylonians over. They are very near. They are right at your doorstep. You can hear even the snorting of these horses. And yet, you disobey me. You will not do what I tell you to do. And God says, okay, if you will not, then I will bring disaster upon you. Yes, these horses are near you. Very, very near to you. Pay heed. And this is what happened. Babylon. Right at the bottom here. They will go up to the north and then they will go south to attack Israel. The horses are here. They refused to listen to. They heard the noises. They heard the snorting. But they refused to obey. And God said, all right, you go into captivity. And God sent them, in, as you all know, to 70 years of captivity. 70 years under the Babylon. Because they refused to obey God. And as we start this new year, let us not be horses like that. Let us be horses that will obey and not disobey him. Right. Now, that was a prophecy. That was a fact. That was not a prediction of a horoscope. That was a prediction, a prophecy from scriptures. Obey or I'll send you into captivity for 70 years in Babylon. Don't obey, I'll send you into captivity. You obey, then you will be spared. They disobeyed. They preferred the prosperity of wealth. They preferred to disobey God. And result, we all know, they went into captivity. Right. That's past. A fact that became material. That what God had warned came to pass. What about us now? Do we hear the horses? Do we hear them snorting at our doorstep? Are they near us? Remember this. The horses are coming. And these horses are near us. John saw the horses. John saw the horses. The horses are coming. And John said he saw. What did he see? Behold, a white horse. He saw a white horse in Revelation chapter 6, 2 to 8. And what would the white horse signify? The horse, white horse is coming. And definitely, as we can see later, the horses that are coming are about this in our time. What is this white horse? What does it say? And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Note, please, the rider upon the white horse had a bow. No arrows. Where were the arrows? No arrows. But without the arrows, he could even conquer the land around him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Without arrows. He was speaking peace, peace, peace all the time. The white horse announced, the rider on the white horse announced, peace I give unto you. Peace, peace. Have we experienced in our lifetime groups of people, entities of people crying out, peace, let us have peace, let us have peace and peace and peace. And in those areas where they spread peace, we are a religion of peace. There's such disaster, there's warfare, there's bloodshed. Is this coming to pass now? That's how they conquer. We are a peaceful people, but they come in and they conquer the land. This is the danger that then the last days that we are talking about as we see the horses coming are very, very near. Another horse coming. The other horse is red. And what does that mean? First was a white horse, a rider without arrows, a bow, but conquering. Now we see a rider on a red horse. And what does that red horse signify? Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Peace. We are a religion of peace. We give you peace. We breathe you peace. And in the aftermath of this announcement of peace comes bloodshed. Tremendous murders. Tremendous killings of people. Innocent as well as women and children. Do you see this in our lifetime? If we see this in our lifetime, then indeed the rider on the red horse is already here. We need to pay heed. And what is forthcoming after all the horses have come, after the snorting of the horses, after the horses have galloped into our territory, then the time is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, as we shall see later on. The red horse, what does it signify? The red, of course, typifies blood. Bloody power is coming. Power to take away peace. Power to kill people. Do we see that? They can kill people as innocently as they would like to. They do not bother much. Bloodshed is just like milkshed. What is so important about bloodshed? And they kill in the name of God as well. So these are the things that we need to be taking to be careful of. Because when we see these things coming to pass, then what is coming after the horses will come to pass. And what is coming after the horses? Later, we'll deal with that. But there is still another horse that is to come. The horses are coming. We have seen the black horse, the white horse. We have seen the red horse. And now we see a black horse. White, red, black. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, a denarius for a measure of wheat, a 3 measures of barley. 1 denarius would buy for a person a daily wage, his daily wage. But now what could he buy? He could buy only a measure of wheat and a measure of barley. Inflation has come up. Do we see this coming in our time when inflation has stepped into our experience? Inflation of our... And so you have experienced that, especially at this time, Chinese New Year time. A few days ago, I went to a coffee shop. I ordered my usual coffee, a cup of coffee. Kopi O. But I was surprised the price went up 30 cents. One cup of Kopi O, the same cup, small little cup, Kopi O, 30 cents up. I wonder if it will ever go down. I'm not sure. But this is what we are paying by seeing now. Inflation has come in. And what happens is, the black horse of poverty and famine is coming. Still famished with a day's wage, with no leftover for pleasure. People in Kuala Lumpur, in Singapore, people earn big money in Singapore especially, but what do they say? Not enough even to save for the day, because the high cost of living in the country is so great, so high. So they could save little. And this is the experience of many people today. Inflation has set in, not only for Singapore, not only for Kuala Lumpur, but for the world. Inflation. Iran has this problem. So these are things that we need to consider, the signs that will point to the ultimate sign that will come forth later on as we near the end of this study. Starvation and famine. In this time of prosperity, when technology is so high and so great, when production of food is so good, yet we find in many, many countries there's starvation and famine. Why? These are signs that the world is coming to an end. Next one. Red horse. Now we have a pale horse that is coming. Why pale? And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the 4 parts of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. It is a time when living on earth is like living in hell. It's terrible. Great disaster, perversion, and trouble, tribulation are coming. And these are warning signs. The snorting of the horses is heard, but we Christians are not ready. We think the world will go on and on. But life on earth is like death and hell on earth. So we need to be aware of that and take precautions to safeguard ourselves to be ready for the time when the horses are coming. So, behold a pale horse. The pale horse of pestilence and perdition is coming. In spite of all the technology that we see today in China, in US, and elsewhere, yet we see they cannot go against the natural pestilences that God has ushered in to this world. The floods, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, and so on. These are natural disasters that have become perversions and tribulations. Aren't we conscious that these are signs that we are indeed nearing the last days? We are coming to the time when the pale horse will be riding through and there will be hell on earth. People die from beasts and pestilence, death and perdition follow. Chapter 6, verse 8 of Revelation. Right, so what have we done? What have we covered? Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Second, it is use of a prophet, our people, quick to do their own thing, disobedient to God's word, but ready with whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. Use of a people not quickened to the signs of the times, that the horses were near, and their snorting is already heard, but they live as if there is plenty of time yet to live this life on earth, to enjoy life. Thirdly, what about us, people? What about us? Here we are referring to the people of the world who are going to encounter the horses that are coming. Israel, the horses of Babylon. The Gentiles, the four horses that are coming into the world. What about the church? Use of God's people who must be quick to know the times and the seasons. We who are in the church, we have been revealed the various consequences, the various signs of the times. Let us be aware of them. What are they? Let us look at Jeremiah 8:16, verse 7. My people know not the judgments of the Lord. For now it is high time to awake, Romans 13:11. In Jeremiah 8:16 and 7 especially, my people know not the judgments of the Lord, and the Lord listed up the judgments to come. We need to be ready. The New Testament challenge is, now is the time to awake. Now is the time of salvation. Rise up to the times. Romans 13:11. To redeem the time, Ephesians 5:15, for the days are evil. Yes, we are living in momentous days. We are living in momentous years. I can never imagine when I was a young boy studying the Bible that Revelation 13 could ever come true, that people in the time to come would do business with numbers. Numbers on their fingers, numbers on their thumbprints, numbers on their cards and so on. The number 666 is the number that is to be used. I could never imagine how numbers could be the very means of commerce, of business, of our dealings with one another. I cannot remember. And yet today, even in my senior age, I find that I have got to deal with numbers. Numbers, pressing the numbers, and then knowing what to do with the numbers. And yet, that was prophesied in 90 AD, in Revelation chapter 13, when those who want to do transactions in commerce has to use the number 666. All these things are coming true. If these things are coming true, the other things that have been said about the coming signs of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must be true. Must be true. We are living in momentous times. To realize that now is the time, 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the time, now is the day of our salvation. Now we must wake up to what is being done. And that is not, I know gold is going up very high price. Many people are investing in gold. Many people are very investing in a lot of things. But one, remember this. This is wealth that can never be taken away when we leave this world. God wishes us well, not wealth. Let's go on. So we have discussed, be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. We are going to discuss now, second point. Believe not in the horse, though a horse is strong. Sometimes we look at these things, oh, they are very strong. They are very good. Gold, as I've said just now, very strong now. We can invest in gold and so on. Now, I'm not saying that this investing is bad, but what I'm saying, do not put all your trust in such horses. Negatively, our strength will fail without God. A horse is a vain thing for safety, Psalm 33 and 17. Be it found in horses, because they are many, today we invest in properties. Today we invest in various material grounds. The more we have, the better. That is the watchword. Many horses. Though it be found, woe to those who rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not into the Holy One of Israel. No dependence upon the Lord, but upon the material wealth to sustain them. They find their wealth in horses because they are many, in chariots because of their multitude, in horsemen because of their might. These are very strong investments. Let us invest on them. So these are the things we need to be careful as we come to the last days. Without the Lord of hosts, they will fall mostly, miserably. We need to consider the Lord of hosts in all our investments, in all our projects for the future. God has his own majestic horses and chariots of fire. You know, God says, do not rely on horses and chariots and horsemen. Why? Because God himself has his horses and chariots. Elijah, one day he saw around the camp of Israel all the enemies of the Syrians, with their horses and chariots, and he was afraid. He went to his master. Master, master, look, we are all surrounded. The Syrians are around us. The horses and the chariots are all around us. And Elisha said, don't worry. Those that are with us are more than those who are with them. And he prayed to the Lord. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And God opened his eyes and he saw right there in the mountains, horses and chariots. God has also his own chariots. In fact, God manifested that already when earlier, he took his prophet Elijah up in a chariot of fire, up into heaven. Elijah, they never died. So we see God also has his own chariots and horses. So know them and make use of them. Right. Positively, our strength should focus on God. Psalm 20. I trust that if we are interested in the study of horses, you study Psalm 20. We have no time to go through verse by verse, but it's very interesting, very good for the future, for the new year that is coming. Our strength should focus not in material props, chariots, what I've listed out just now. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That is the natural powers that you are able to do all things without depending upon the Lord. But in God's supernatural and powerful name, remember his name. I'd like to spend some time here about remembering the name of the Lord. Today, we find that especially the younger generation have gone away in the remembering of the name of the Lord. Let his name be the watchword for the new year and the word for our life. What do I mean? I'm very sad to hear that even Christians, some people, when they see things and they are amazed, oh my God! Isn't that using the name of God in vain? God has warned us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Use not the name of God in vain. Oh my God! And some to dilute this in order not to be accused of using the name of God. Oh my gosh! Oh, some cleverer still, rather than using the name of God in vain. OMG! Let us not make excuses for that which is not right, that which blasphemes the name of God, that which prays about with the name of God. As Christians, let us ever be conscious of the name of God. We are to remember the name of God because when we remember the name of God, we are able to overcome all these horses that are rushing at us. All right, remember his name when the path before us is dark. Psalm 20, I'm studying Psalm 20 with you now, but I have no time to refer to the verses. His name is our deliverance. When the path is hard, his name is our defense. 21. When the path is good, his name is our delight. 25. Rejoice in God in times of prosperity. Rely on God in times of adversity. Remember God the times of. Oh my God! Meaning, and trust, and not use it as a word of vanity. Use it as a reverence for the Lord. Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, how great thou art. But not in the form of vanity and even curse. Let us be careful as Christians, not follow what other people are doing. Oh God, how great thou art. Right. We have dealt with negatively our strength will fall without God. Positively, our strength shall focus on God. Affirmatively, let our strength be in faith, trusting God. Psalm 147, 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of horses. He taketh not pleasures in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, that those that hope in his mercy. God's strength is superior to any strength. I've got to hurry a bit here in order to finish my study. Hosea 1:7 says this, I will save them by the Lord, their God, and will not serve them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. In other words, those things that are material, don't trust them, but trust in God to provide for all our things and our defense. God's spirit is supreme over any might. His spirit must be depended upon in our fight with, in our Christian walk. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in them that help in his mercy. And Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we need to have the spirit more in our lives to govern and lead us along. It is not by might, the multitude of houses. It is not by power, the might of horses. It is by my spirit, the mighty Lord of hosts. So may we learn from this. Right. Be not like the horse. Behave not like a horse, because a horse is stubborn. You know why? Because we read that the scriptures has warned us in Psalm 32:9, be ye not like the horse or like the mule, they have no understanding. Like a horse, stubborn. You got to pull and to push and to put it along in order for it to move. It needs the whip. Sometimes, let us not be sad when the Lord gives us the whip. For going out of the way, we need the whip in order that we may continue to follow in the path of the horse. Proverbs 26, verse 3. We need sometimes the master's direction in Psalms 32, verse 8. And we be under the father's discipline, Hebrews 12, 5 and 13. The Lord disciplines those or chasteneth those whom he loves. Right. It needs the bit and the bridle to be put into our mouth, to be controlled by the Lord. Psalm 2:9. Be ye not like the horse that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with his bit and bridle. Sometimes we need that bit and bridle so that when we stray away, the Lord, as a rider, can pull us up, either upwards or to the left or to the right, to make us go straight again. Yes, the bit and the bridle are important things in the Bible. To control his whole body so that we walk in the way of the Lord, and to control anything that is wrong in our lives. Sin, little sin, sometimes can cause a big problem. All right. It needs a hook, even. Sometimes it may be pain when the Lord disciplines us for compulsion. I will bring the horses forth on the day of the Lord. The day, this day has not come yet, but the day of the Lord is the day when he will come, and he will bring in horses from all over the earth. We read in Ezekiel 38, the armies in the north he will bring to Heaven God in Ezekiel 39, the valley of the multitude of God. Now, these Bible scholars believe has reference to Russia in the north, has reference to all the other states connected with Russia in the north. They are coming down to attack Israel. All kings, neutral or otherwise, will also be rallied to the valley of Armageddon, Revelation 19, 17. Armageddon will be just north of Israel. And all those who are so-called neutral, they will also be gathered. India, China, the river Euphrates will be dried up, and the armies will walk over river Euphrates. So all these are coming to pass now. And we see a transport system from China right up to the very east, going to reach Israel. And we need to be careful. These things were prophesied years ago, not now, but we see them being fulfilled now. All nations will be gathered together to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And where is Jehoshaphat? All Israel. Israel will be the very center of all gatherings, of all these armies. They will come. But not only the armies of the earth, north, south, east, and west, but also we find that there will be also armies coming from all over, not only the earth, but even from the bottomless pit, where we read locusts shaped like horses, Revelation 9:11, will be released and will be let out to taunt all their people upon the earth. Locusts are the appearance of horses. It's prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. They will all appear, and they are coming. And what are locusts? They will come as a swarm, and they will attack. And we are seeing great, mighty nations coming together and then attacking the smaller nations. From heaven, the horses will also come. Yes, from heaven. Because that is the time when all the horses will gather. From the north, south, east, and west. From the earth, from under the earth, and now from heaven. We read in Revelation 19, 11 to 16, the appearance of the faithful and true on the white horse. The Lord Jesus Christ will come on a white horse, 19:11. He will come, and written on his lap will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for then he will establish himself as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The armies of the saints will follow him, because we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the white horse, and we see all other people on other horses coming along, as you can see, all will be coming. What for? To save Israel, his people. His people, Israel, will be saved. And all the people who have gone against God will be damned. This is the judgment that is to come, the last judgment. So, summary, let me end. Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Be not like, believe not in a horse, though a horse is strong. Behave not like the horse, though a horse is stubborn. Stubborn. Refuses to go in. All right. Conclusion. Be aware of remembering the Lord of hosts. That is the word I would like to give to all of you. The New Year benediction that I would like to pass on. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thy own heart and to fulfill all thy counsel. The New Year banner. Let us wave the banner. We will rejoice in the salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all the petitions. May the Lord speak to us. The New Year belief. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. If at all you forget anything, remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. There is individual confidence. I trust in the Lord, and there is also mutual reliance. We together, let us trust the Lord for the time to come when we shall see him coming. And those of us who have left us already in heaven, they will come also with him, and we will be joined up together in Christ, when we all the dead in Christ shall rise up, and all those who are alive shall join together, and those with coming from heaven, then we shall be all one again in heaven. This is the promise of the year of the horse. So my wife and I would like this opportunity to wish you all a beautiful and fruitful, bountiful New Year. And I use the word prosperous, but in this sense, prosperous as found in Joshua 1:8, that you will prosper in the way of the Lord, that you will prosper in the word of the Lord. Walk in all the ways that I have committed you, that it may be well with you. May you all be well for this new year, the year of the horse. And I end with this. Hope, if you want a copy of what I've said, what has been written, what has been projected on the screen, you can always visit my website, After I wish you blessed New Year to all of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the warnings that we have received. Help us to pay heed to the warning, that we may walk in the way that you have opened up for us. Help us to be obedient and not like the horse. If necessary, put your bit and bridle in our mouth to lead us, to guide us, to discipline us if it's necessary. But in it all, to be what you want us to be. So Lord, we commit ourselves to thee and really pray that your blessings may be all who are gathered together this morning, that all may be well. Hear us, O Lord, even as we break for our lunch together. We give thee thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.